Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yuki Tsunoda at his home race absolutely smashed it. Ladies and gents, welcome back to Pit Stop.
Welcome back.
We had the Japanese Grand Prix, and boy oh boy, it was a good one.
It was a good one. We're also 30% Japanese, as we figured out. So I was able to enjoy it 30% more.
I'm turning Japanese, I really think so.
Sorry?
You not heard that song before?
No, what was that?
Turning Japanese, I really think so.
What does it get? Sing it a bit more. So
that's all I know. That's literally all I know.
I don't know that song.
Yeah, well, there we go. Suzuka, mate. There was a lot that happened, but also not a lot that happened.
No, my prediction was pretty right, though. I said early safety car. Someone will start on softs and see what they can do. Fernando Alonso gave it a whirl.
It was pretty early as well, wasn't it?
We have a lot to talk about because I predicted Daniel Ricciardo to finish 13th. You predicted 10th. We met in the middle.
We saw what happened. Yeah, it wasn't quite the fairy tale ending that we had kind of hoped for.
Not ideal for Williams either. Obviously, Max Verstappen, another win. Perez showing that he can be a little bit more consistent than we thought.
Yep, the top 10. Verstappen, Perez, Sainz, Leclerc, Norris, Alonso, Russell, Piastri, Hamilton, and Tsunoda.
Yuki Tsunoda at his home race absolutely smashed it.
I've got a little bit of stuff about him, which we'll get into later on.
What have you got about Yuki Tsunoda?
Well, we'll get into it a bit later on.
Oh, I can't wait.
I want to build up to it. I'm not ready for it yet.
Lewis Hamilton stormed out of an interview.
Oh.
Yes, that did happen. He was asked by a reporter, does he wish he was in the Ferrari this year? Well, I'm sure he does, but what a stupid question. There's nothing he can do about it.
Was that after the race?
It was after the race. He was asked if he's jealous of how quick the Ferrari is this year and wishes he was in the car, and he said, have you not got any better questions, and stormed out.
It's all part of the process.
It's all part of the process. He probably is pretty jealous. I mean, if you're in that Mercedes, you're going to be looking at... And he let Russell past because he had damage.
Yeah.
That's something that we didn't know.
What was it? He hit Leclerc, didn't he?
Or early on in the race.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
No.
No idea.
But yeah, what a stupid question to be asked. I'm sure he is jealous.
It is a really weird question to ask. However, it kind of... I do get it because, again, said this before, Hamilton isn't old in terms of age. But
yeah, we said he's 41 last week.
Oh.
Hamilton isn't 41.
What is he?
39.
All right.
Sorry about that. Slight mishap in Hamilton's age.
Hasn't broken his 40s yet. In terms of race career, he is getting there, and every year kind of counts now because you will start to lose a little bit of performance, I think, when you get into your 40s. I do think that. So maybe he is a little bit jealous, and maybe it struck a nerve, and maybe that's why he stormed out.
He's probably in his brain not done with Mercedes, but so ready for that next chapter that he's... feeling that anyway, feeling ready to go to Ferrari, obviously, as he signed.
Yeah.
So that question is probably just like, you didn't need to ask me that.
He's signed.
He is Carlos Sainz to Ferrari. Very true.
I can see why the question was asked, because Ferrari have been doing very well. We had 3rd and 4th for the Ferrari boys in Suzuka.
Yeah.
Carlos Sainz overtook Charles on lap 46.
He did.
Which was, it was going to happen anyway. It was a nice move. There's been a lot of chatter around, you know, have Ferrari made the right decision? Are they getting rid of the right guy? Sainz has been putting in a decent performance these last couple of laps. But aside from that conversation, because everyone's been talking about it, I just want to highlight the fact that Fred Vasseur seems that he's had a positive effect on the team.
It does seem that Fred Vasseur has had a positive effect on the team.
Ferrari have made a jump. since 2022, since Bonotto left and he was replaced by Fred Vasseur. I don't know, we don't know the ins and outs of a Formula One team. We don't know how much a leader like that can change a team. I mean, obviously the cars have changed quite a lot since 22. So we don't really know. We're not really the right podcast for it, but it does seem like since Fred's been in, Ferrari have been doing a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's kind of forgot about Binotto now. Like, you don't even hear anything about him. What's the bet Binotto comes back? Audi team principal.
You think Audi?
Well, I just don't think he'll, like, never come back, you know? Maybe it's Audi, maybe it's Andretti, maybe it's even an F2 team. I don't know, but you surely will see Binotto somewhere. But yeah, Fred, single-handedly, is probably one of the main reasons they've got Hamilton. So that in itself is, like, a massive reason of having Fred was great, because they obviously worked together back when in Hamilton's early career.
Right.
So, and obviously Fred's really close with Leclerc. Maybe not as close with Sainz, which is maybe why Sainz is going. But Sainz has been outscoring Leclerc. So, yeah, the question on everyone's lips is, have they made the right decision?
Who knows?
I'm actually not sure.
Ferrari have made the correct decision getting Fred in. That's for sure.
That's a correct decision. I'm starting to worry about Carlos Sainz's seat, though. Starting to worry about where he will go and whether he'll have a good seat in 25. Because Perez is actually performing. It's very easy to at the end of last season or some races last year to look at it and go, Perez should be doing better. But realistically, he has been doing a lot better over the last, like, 10 races, even at the end of last year, beginning of this year, usually in the top five, second or third. That's all Red Bull need. If Max wins a race, they're going to win the championship easy if they come in second or third.
Yeah.
But they don't want someone trying to fight Max.
There isn't a lot of points between the Red Bull boys and the Ferrari boys, though. At this point of the season, I don't actually know what the gap is, but it's looking pretty good. Like, it's looking competitive.
Yeah, I just don't know whether they're going to get rid of Perez anymore. He said, didn't he? Perez said he should know in the next month.
Yeah.
Which is, like, kind of exciting. But also, I've seen another rumor about Perez.
Oh no.
Apparently
he's got six toes on one foot.
You've seen it already?
Yeah. No, apparently, I've seen it in the flesh.
Apparently he's under significant pressure, Perez is, because Audi want him. Apparently they're trying to, like, sort their lineup already, and they're looking at seeing whether they can grab Perez. But obviously, if he's under contract with Red Bull, so maybe Perez stays for 25, does a 1-year contract, and agrees with Audi to 2026. And that's when the Red Bull swap happens.
I mean, I think it's possible. I don't think it's the narrative that kind of everyone was expecting.
No.
I think people who watch F1, you want some of that shock horror. Not shock horror, but you want that wow factor, that shock factor of, oh, there's a big move happening. Sergio Perez, who's been at Red Bull for X amount of years, is now leaving. But realistically speaking, maybe you're right.
Yeah. Who knows? Well, either way, in the Grand Prix, Max Verstappen showed once again no one can get anywhere near him. The gap was quite ridiculous this week.
It was. Yeah, there was, I think I heard Fernando Alonso say he was 44. He said he had a good race. Mm-hmm. He thought it was a great race for him, and he was still 44 seconds behind the leader.
Did like some stuff that Fernando Alonso did, especially at the end of the race. I love the way he was keeping Piastri within a second to keep Russell behind. I mean, even though Russell did get Piastri in the end, it probably maintained Fernando's position in the race.
This is why Fernando Alonso is the GOAT. Now, I judge who I think is the best off of what they can do in the car that they're given.
That's a smart way to judge who's the best. Well done.
Now, Alonso, he's never going to be able to battle Max or the Red Bulls in that car. But the fact that he can play cat and mouse like that on the grid, it was very similar to what Sainz was doing last year. Do you remember he did that?
Yeah, when last year he was like a number two, Sainz was. But this year it doesn't feel like he is.
There was a race where there was Lando behind him and he was stringing Lando along to give him the DRS.
I remember.
It was George, wasn't it? George was attacking.
It's when he won, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When he won, he kept him behind really well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So I like that kind of stuff. Like, the fact that you can do that in a race is quite spectacular.
I've seen a few people talking about the fact that it was a perfect example of how hard it is to overtake Japan now, like in F1. I mean, they don't really ever talk about it on TV. The commentators never go into it because it's kind of speaking negatively about the sport. But, like, realistically, no one really overtook. There wasn't really, like, any big, many overtakes in that race. Other than when there were some, though,
which was surprising because it was in those weavy parts. Do you remember you saw Yuki go right round the outside of someone on that weavy
bit? Yuki's overtake was one of the best overtakes I saw.
There was a few times that happened. And like you said, considering the circuit and how big the cars are now, there were more overtakes than I thought, considering the nature of the track.
The gap is a bit ridiculous, though, because Yuki got points, came 10th, but finished a lap behind the top nine.
Wow.
How have the top nine lapped 10th?
That's crazy.
That means the rest of the grid got lapped as well.
Everyone
up to 9th was lapped. That is ridiculous to me. To me, I know it's not like this, and I don't know if it ever fully has been, but you kind of want everyone within like 30 seconds at least, maybe 25.
Is that even possible in this day of Formula One? I don't know.
But if you can get it to that, or if it is like, I guess it's down to the cars and the constructors who can build the same, but if it was that, then things like undercut, overcut would actually be a thing. But I'm watching them do their pits and the commentators or Crofty, someone's like, oh, the undercut's really powerful here. I'm thinking, the undercut ain't going to do shit. The car's already 7 seconds ahead.
Well, I'm glad you're talking about Yuki, mate, because I've got a few stats here.
God, love a Yuki stat.
It's about Yuki and Daniel.
Okay.
Let's compare Yuki and Daniel.
Okay.
Adding up the average finishing points, yeah? Sorry. Adding up the average finishing position since Daniel's return to F1, not including the races that he missed for breaking his hand.
Yeah.
I found out some interesting stuff. Daniel's average is 14th. Yuki's average finishing position is 10th.
That's good.
That's very good. And obviously Yuki hasn't always been kind of the most professional driver on the grid. So I don't know. I'll reel off some of this stuff and let's see what I think. The decision that you come to. Yuki has had 6 points finishes in the last 11 races.
Yep, very, very good.
10th in Belgium, 8th in Austin, 9th in Brazil, 8th in Abu Dhabi, 7th in Australia, and 10th in Japan. Daniel, his total points is 6. Yuki's total points is 22, because Daniel has only finished in the points once in the last 11 races.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a big gap.
That's a massive gap.
That's a very, very big gap. And I feel Yuki's just proving that he's starting to become a bit of a seasoned driver, mate.
Well, Yuki and Ricardo, aside from the fact they're in the same car, are two completely different drivers, aren't they? You've got one of them trying to show what he can do to have a whole career in F1. Mm. And you've got one of them who's been there for a long time, already driven at the top teams, and is one of the most famous people in motorsport. Probably isn't as... The focus levels will be completely different.
Mm-hmm.
What one of them is focused on and what the other one is focused on is probably completely different.
And that's going to change even a lot more even in the next year as well.
100%. And I've seen a lot of videos online and a lot of posts about Ricardo in the last couple of weeks and people being like, people forget how good he was. People forget how many races he won. And I don't doubt it. He has won some great races. He's got a lot of podiums and there's been points in his career. He's been mega. But you have to look at right now, like you've just said, the last 11 races. Mm. You know, we're not making this up. You're not saying it just to be a dick. Like, we'd say this about any driver. He's not performing.
To go off the back of that, bringing Liam Lawson into the equation, he came 9th in Singapore last year. So we scored 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
He finished just outside the top 10 twice in Italy and Japan, where he came 11th in both races.
Yep.
11th. Liam has a quarter of the points that Daniel has, and he's only ever driven in F1 5 times in his whole career. So, you know, when it comes to Yuki and Daniel, I think, you know, there's no chance that Yuki's ever going to be leaving this team anytime soon, unless he gets promoted to Red Bull. That's obviously, again, not going to happen after what you just said about Perez and putting in a good shift. But I do think that we could maybe see a mid-season driver swap again. Because you know Helmut Marko is a ruthless guy and Helmut Marko will make decisions like that.
Yeah.
And we saw Liam do all right last year. And I just think that if this trend continues with Daniel, because Yuki doing better is also making Daniel look worse.
Exactly.
You could blame it on the car, but when Yuki's pulling out, you know, points finishes like that,
yeah,
it makes Daniel look worse and it makes Liam look better.
Yeah. I mean, there's two things as well. Like, we're saying this off the back of the Japanese Grand Prix, where he's obviously DNF, so he didn't get a chance to really race anyway. And it wasn't really, like, a bad... It was kind of Daniel's fault, but it wasn't... It was a racing incident, you know?
It wasn't yeah, it really... It was.
You can't really look at it and say he had a terrible race, but it's just these mistakes. It all adds up into the bigger picture, doesn't it?
Well, mate, let's dive into that as well, because it was like turn one or turn two, wasn't it? That weavy bit.
Right through the weavy
bit. Right in the beginning. We watched the onboards back. When we first watched it, you would have assumed that it was Daniel's fault, because he comes right across, right in front of Albon. Albon had nowhere to go and obviously fucked his race.
Yeah.
But then you think, well, you know, was it Daniel's fault? Like, Anthony Davidson was saying that it was a racing incident. You haven't got wing mirrors on the camera when we're watching it. So when you watch Daniel's on board, you can't see Alex. But Daniel could have seen him in his mirrors.
Well, you can kind of see Daniel look the other way, and he's like, his helmet is looking the other way when Albon's coming in. So I think he was more focused on the car to his left.
Mm.
But from Albon's point of view, going back to that good old famous Formula One saying, if you don't go for a gap, you're no longer a racing driver. Like,
exactly.
Albon can't not go there. It was just a racing incident. It's a shame for Williams, a big shame for Williams. You know, they've been under the cosh a little bit in the last couple of races with DNFs and things not really going their way.
Man.
But I do think this has put so much pressure on Ricciardo now going into China.
Mate,
so much pressure.
It puts a lot of pressure on Ricciardo, but it puts a lot of pressure on Williams. Williams, out of every single team on the grid, they haven't got as much money. They haven't got this magical pot of money that's just going to keep reappearing every time they need to fix the car. They've had a shocking start to the year in terms of crashes and having to fix the car. We know everything that happened in Australia and
everything
else. And let's
not forget, an F1 car, the crashes they've been having have been quite significant. And the cost of an F1 car is between 12 and 15 million pounds.
It's just ridiculous.
So one crash. So even that crash of Ricciardo and...
The nose cone is a quarter of a million
Albon,
quid.
You're looking at like 25 million pounds in the wall. Two cars.
Mm.
That's crazy.
Logan went off in quali, didn't he?
Yeah.
Was it quali or was it FP? It was FP1 he went off in.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the race, mate, he went off again.
I mean, I can see how, because on that curve is a nightmare. On the game.
We know from
the
race.
On the bloody game.
We know from the race.
Out. That reminds me, actually, anyone listening who has the F1 game, we are doing lobbies racing you. So make sure you click the link in the bio of this podcast, join the Discord, and we put in there when we're racing, because it's easy to join.
Yeah, it's absolutely mega. But yeah, like you said, we know from the game that his corner's quite hard.
Yep.
Leclerc made a mistake and went off.
Yeah,
However, when Logan made the mistake, like, I felt like Leclerc, he touched a little bit of the gravel, the wheels hit it, he corrected it, he came back on the track, he lost a bit of time, but it is what it is. Logan, he just went...
Yes, he went to the beach.
Straight into the grav. Not graceful in the
Fair
slightest.
Fair play, he got it out though.
This guy was like, I am not for a fucking second gonna not finish this race. He stuck it into reverse back onto the track.
Nearly took Alonso out, or was it Stroll, one of them? But
it was the most dangerous return to a circuit I've ever
seen. Covered
in
dust, the car was a completely different colour.
Bro, it looked like he had just done the Dakar rally.
Yeah, Dakar rally.
He's just driven through the Sahara, car was covered in dust, but he was, fair play to him, he was determined to finish the race. But it does make you think, Williams, if this keeps happening... They don't have a magical pot of money. And if the car keeps getting wrecked and they can't afford to fix it, there's a chance that they might have to sit out of some races this year, mate.
Have you seen that?
No, but
reckon they've probably got enough money to get a car every week.
Not if they've got to spend 25 million quid fixing it every week, mate.
Yeah. I'm,
like, what if... What
yeah,
if,
true.
What if Alex or Logan goes and fucks the chassis again? That's a lot of money. A lot of money to keep fixing the car. If this happens week in, week out, if they didn't have a spare chassis on like race 3 of this season, then if they go wreck the chassis again, are they going to be in the same position again? They can't keep afford to fix in the car.
No, and that's going to also come back to maybe they're going to have to make a decision on Logan and soon. I
again, mid-season drop.
Sorry, I just don't know anymore. I really don't know.
I was having a good chat with my dad about this, They're all human, these drivers.
That's it. They are, which is why I don't want to sit here and say he should lose a seat, because he could have shit going on in his life. Right. He could be struggling to get in with the car. There could be so much going on.
The stress and the anguish of having that much on your shoulders,
I know,
is immeasurable. However, he's walked into a job where that's what you have to deal with. Everyone else on the grid's dealing with it. Everyone else has to make sure they don't crash a car worth 25 million quid. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you and me are just doing our job. Like, we have to talk about these issues. And if we talk about it in the most straightforward, diplomatic way, it's not very entertaining. If you want to hear someone talk about the actual true science behind being an F1 driver, then go listen to a different podcast. We're going to have a joke and take the mic. But it is tough when you're kind of making a joke out of someone's misfortune.
I know.
In a way.
But then it comes back to Callum Nicholas on the podcast here in his first ever episode, and he said, pressure is privilege. And I love that term.
And Ruth said the same thing.
Yep. And anyone performing in a really high intensity thing will say the same thing. Pressure is privilege. And if you can't deal with that, you shouldn't be in the role. And you have to imagine all the drivers in F4, all the drivers in F3, all the drivers in F2 would want that seat. So it is a privilege to have that F1 seat.
Absolutely.
So no matter what we say, as a driver in his position, I'm sure he is very able to just shut off from the media, ignore everyone. And you know, he doesn't listen to the pod. He's never going to know what we're saying anyway, is he?
But no, I guess not.
He probably does see the noise online, like from other people saying things.
It's not just us.
No, I mean, of course not.
Everyone's saying it. So, and it also does make you think, if he was to leave, what would be next for Logan?
Oh, he'll go Formula E or something. I think Formula E or something for sure.
Yeah, but it's not as if he's had the best track record in Formula One. To like, who else is kind of going to want to offer him a seat? I mean, there's always IndyCar. He is American.
I only think he'll stay on the grid for longer than other drivers would, because he is American. And we have all these American races now. It's so key. There's so many American sponsors. Like, it's not going to be easy to get rid of your only American driver when you've got all these American races.
No, but I do think that there's another American driver out there who could do a better performance.
Well, they consider Ricciardo like their other American driver, don't they?
He's
like massive.
Bit, yeah.
So they can't get rid of him either. Otherwise, what's going to happen? The ticket sales will probably go right down.
Probably, yeah.
Who knows?
I could see Logan in NASCAR. I could see him doing the ovals.
Logan in NASCAR?
Yeah.
That would be quite something. What about the Russell thing? We have to talk about that.
That was great. I saw this clip when it first
came
out.
Yeah, you showed me that. The little fan who got a picture of Russell doing his pose.
Little absolutely Japanese kid. Hilarious. They were doing press on a stage before I think it was, I don't know, one of the evenings. And this little Japanese kid was like screaming at George. They brought
George,
him up on stage.
George!
And he was doing the pose that George does.
No, I love the way he had no shoes on, no socks as well.
Amazing.
And his top said, "I love Russell" or something.
I just love the Japanese, man. They're so passionate about everything that they love.
I know. I saw one guy, a fan, he had a full Red Bull thing on a hat, and then he took the hat off, took his jacket off, and he was Aston Martin as well.
Oh, really?
So he was wearing two outfits, so that's hilarious.
That's great.
Toto Wolff has said that no one can catch Max Verstappen this year, which is true. Obviously, we know that. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because Max, in that exact interview, replied with, Toto's being really nice about me at the moment.
Which is true.
Toto Wolff is being really nice about Max Verstappen at the moment.
I see what's going on here.
Yeah, maybe he's thinking, well, Lewis Hamilton's going. I mean, not being funny, Mercedes have got the money. When it comes down to it, Mercedes probably do have the money to lure him out of a Red Bull contract.
Yeah, but then I saw an interview.
But do they have the car? Probably not.
I saw an interview with Fernando Alonso, and he was asked the same question.
What was he asked?
He was asked the same question. What do you think about the potential Mercedes seat? Yeah. And he says, like, we finished ahead of Mercedes. Mercedes aren't looking very attractive at the minute. The Aston is better than the Mercedes at the minute.
Yeah.
Why would Alonso even toy with the idea of going to a team that's nowhere near as good? Now, if there is a team on the grid who are going to be able to bounce back from a rut, it probably is going to be Mercedes.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now, as it stands, Aston Martin are better than Mercedes, mate.
Also, a huge benefit being at someone like Aston, because the pressure of being at Mercedes is removed. So if you do well, it's better.
Doo-doo.
And you can kind of get away with a bad race in a way, because it's not a car that should be there every week.
Yeah.
0 points for Williams this year. Haas have four, Kick have none, and Alpine have none. I mean, Alpine and Kick are a whole other conversation. Kick, Sauber, whatever you want to call them, have completely forgot how to do pit stops. Their average pit stop seems to be about 5-6 seconds.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
It is crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy, yeah.
And what is going on with Alpine? Like, they've... You used to see Gasly within the top, like, 5 to 12 consistently. Gasly was one of them people that you would be like, ah, oh, he's up there, he's, you know... can do a good move or whatever. Him and Ocon, mate, they just come last all the time now. They're not even in the race.
It's it can have a being part of a team where the car isn't great, it's going to have an effect on your mental health. And I think if the car is crap, it's very hard to stay positive and put in a good performance. So once the team is put down the bottom, I think both drivers, they're just going to lose that confidence and that push to want to do better anyway. So it's like it's a whole negative environment to be in. Take Paul Pierre out of that situation and, like, hypothetically speaking, stick him in like a top three car, you know, maybe that could reignite the flame that he had. But right now, I think
he did struggle in the Red Bull when he had the chance though, didn't he?
Yeah. I think he's just living in this. He's very aware of the situation he's in. He knows it's not going to get better with the team that he's with. And, you know, like I said a few pods ago, he's bought that football team. I think he's starting to lay the foundations for his potential exit of Formula One in the next year or two.
Very interesting stat about Alpine. Obviously, we're very happy Oscar left and went to McLaren when he did. But Oscar Piastri has scored more points in his Formula One career than Alpine in the time he's been there.
Wow.
So in the time Oscar Piastri has been in F1, he has scored 125 points. And in that time, Alpine as a team have only scored 120. So without doubt, Oscar Piastri made the right decision to move to McLaren. So Oscar, well done. And Mark Webber, very good choice.
And happy birthday for the other day, Oscar.
Yeah,
as
happy birthday to Oscar
nice
for the
they
other day.
They brought him out a cake. Looked very lovely. He spent some time in Japan.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's a good guy. So, yeah, I've got nothing else, mate. You got anything else?
Yeah, well, I have, because the next race, no race this weekend, which means we're going to have a quiz or something over this weekend. However, the next race is the Chinese Grand Prix. Now, we haven't been to China since 2019 due to COVID. It's obviously been on the calendar, but every year it's just been no, which means it's actually the first time Joe has ever raced there in Formula One.
Oui, nice.
So he's finally going to get his home race. And remember when we interviewed Joe, we actually spoke to him about his home race because it wasn't cancelled then.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so excited to go.
Yeah.
And he was going to take Bottas out for dinner, wasn't he?
Over a hot pot.
Yeah, and he was so excited to go to his home race. So I'm excited for that for Joe and to see whether he can pull something out of it.
Maybe his car will somehow miraculously be slightly quicker in China.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame he can't get a big upgrade for that. Maybe it will be. Maybe they'll give him some turbo juice, some orange juice, as we used to say.
Yep.
Last time we raced in China, Lewis Hamilton won, Valtteri Bottas second, Vettel third, Verstappen fourth.
Oh,
so the grid has changed.
Just to see Vettel's name on the grid there, that's lovely.
Yeah, I mean,
that.
Last time we were here, Joe wasn't even on the grid.
Antonio Giovinazzi.
Mm-hmm. Raikkonen was on there. Mate, Kubica, Kvyat.
Do people like this circuit? I don't know. I don't know what people's thoughts are.
Well,
on
I've got it loaded up here. Obviously, we've never seen a Chinese Grand Prix.
No, and I did not know that it was first in 2004.
Yeah, first Grand Prix in 2004, incredible. 56 laps.
Long old straight, two long straights on there.
Yeah, two DRS zones, mate.
They've got two horrible corners, though. They got two, like, they look like snail shells. The windy ones are
yeah,
awful.
Yeah. I obviously don't know much about it, and we'll have our Chinese Grand Prix predictions coming, well, I guess way nearer the Chinese Grand Prix.
It's going to be a first for us.
I'll give you another interesting fact before we end today's podcast. Max Verstappen has 99 pole positions in his Formula One career. Sorry, incorrect. Red Bull have 99 pole positions in the time they've been in Formula One. Lewis Hamilton has 104 on his own. I'll leave you with that one, ladies and gentlemen, because that is quite something.
I've got no words for that, really.
Yeah, I just thought I'd blow everyone's mind at the end of today's episode.
You blew mine just a little bit. You really did.
Oh.
Well, mate, it's we got a week off. Time to...
I'm quite tired after this weekend.
Time to reignite and recalibrate.
The times were quite weird, weren't they?
Yeah, yesterday I took a nap. I took an hour nap during the day, which is something I never do.
Yeah.
I hate taking naps during the day because you wake up and
you feel like it's the next day.
It feels awful. It's really, truly a bad thing to do.
Mate.
And I still don't feel like I've recovered. I still feel knackered. I'm sorry if this pod hasn't been as exciting as it usually is, because I'm still absolutely blasted. I didn't get enough sleep last night.
Well, it's all right. We'll be back on Thursday with a very exciting one. And everyone's mission, if you have the F1 game, please do join the Discord, the link in the bio. We'll be back. Oh, I got a match on Tinder.
No, yeah, you've got a text from Ovo Energies. You owe us money.
You're meant to lie. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Pit Stop. Rate it 5 stars, hit the follow button, join the Discord, join the races, and we will see you guys on Thursday.
See you Thursday.